Welcome, everybody. This is Ken McCarthy, and you're listening to another in the series of pre-system teleseminars. These are interviews with the System 2008 faculty. Before every system seminar, we interview every faculty member so you can get to know them, know their background, and take away some ideas that you can apply to your business immediately. Today we have Ed O'Keefe. Welcome, Ed.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me part of this call. I'm honored. This is great.
Well, I'm really glad that you're going to be joining us as a faculty member. I have to thank Kelly Muldoon for pulling my coattails and saying, hey, you really should get Ed to speak. And then you and I had a chance to get to know each other, and I realized that you're really a wealth of information about a lot of different issues related to internet marketing and entrepreneurship. And we're going to start talking about that stuff right now because you really, just in our pre-call, I was already learning a lot from you.
Well, we should have recorded that. We had some good conversations there, too. But
We'll try to get everything into this call, too. It's amazing how often the preliminary calls are have so much good material in them. Now, you, like everybody else, you started from scratch.
Yeah.
You weren't born an internet marketer or an entrepreneur. Nobody sat you down at 5 years old and carefully cultivated your entrepreneurial skills. You found yourself in young adulthood wanting to be an entrepreneur and, like the rest of us, scraping our knuckles along the ground as we try to figure out what the heck we're doing.
Right on, yeah.
How did you find your way? What were you doing before?
Well,
the internet, what helped you into it?
Yeah, I mean, a couple quick things there. It's good. I mean, like, you know, I went away to school, played volleyball in college, and I actually was getting my nursing degree. I actually have my bachelor's in nursing, which is not easy to do. And really funny, around that same time, if I can look at some defining moments, I remember listening to an audio. This is when Chicken Soup for the Soul was really hot, you know. This is back, I think, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a junior in college. I remember listening to, like, Mark Victor Hansen or Jack Canfield, one of those audio CDs they had. I started going to the library because I got into all this motivation stuff, and I started going to the library every Monday. I'd drive about 15 miles. I'd go to a public library in Iowa and take out, like, a Brian Tracy book or CDs, and I started learning this stuff. But someone said along that time, it was like, I think it was Mark Victor Hansen or someone said, you know, you live in the best country in the world where you can choose and be anything you decide to be, and you can make the amount of money you want to make. And I still remember it as clear as day. Ken, I've had a few revelations like that that I'd be happy to share, but that was one of them where it hit me right in the square in the face and said to me, you know, I knew I didn't want to just a regular job the rest of my life. So I just started this thing. At first, I thought I was going to be a motivational speaker. I wanted to be the next Tony Robbins, beating my chest and, you know, hollering on stage. But it's pretty funny. Around that time, I got a No BS Dan Kennedy's newsletter, and this is no joke at all, that one of your, I think it might have been your first system seminar ever, Ken. I don't know, but it was like when I bought the audio tapes and, you know, how to draw your website on a piece of paper.
This would have been way before the system. We had something called the Mastermind series.
Yeah.
This would have been late 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So you got me. You're one of the key forces that got, this is when Dan was saying, the only guy I trust on the internet. And then there, so I bought your first package, and I realized that motivational speaking was not going to get me wealthy, and being on the road was not going to be a fun thing. Mm. And so that was the first, my first inkling of what the internet could do for me. And then I started going down that road of just understanding. I'll tell you, the one understanding I got early on was the more I studied of your stuff and the more I studied of the internet marketing and what it can do for you, the more money I started making.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that correlation. And so I got away from worrying about product as much as I needed to start focusing on how do I just increase the knowledge. And I think I was around 23, 24 at the time. And I just made a mental commitment that I was going to be one of the best. And I used to write this in my goals. I would write, I'm the world's best copywriter in the world. And I'd write that every day. And I'd get up at six. I'd get up. You know, because I heard another guy say on, like, a copywriting CD that your income is directly correlated to your ability to write copy and sell.
I think that's really true. I think that's because you're basically conceiving your business, and putting a front on it, you know, for the rest of the world to see. And if you have something really well that looks good and is really attractive and really alluring, you're going to get more customers and they're going to be more likely to buy. And, I can't imagine I couldn't build a business that I have, for example, today if I hadn't been devoted to copywriting as well.
Right on. Well, and so, you know, what I did is, I mean, like, and this is where I think a lot of guys, I mean, you know, I'm good buddies with Lloyd Irvin, and and I think one of the things that I admire so much about him, but also what I think why him and I get along is we both come from the athletic background. But Lloyd takes it to an entirely new level in the sense that he has, like, the mindset of, you know, his Android philosophy, which is, like, if this is what it's going to take to become the best in the world at something, then you go do it. And it's not a question of, you know, you don't question whether you do it or not. You just go do it. Mm-hmm. And around that time, that's when Gary Halbert and John Carlton, those guys were still, it's when Gary was still famous with his copywriting. But one of the correlations I saw, like, with copywriting was they all said the same thing. They said, if you want to be the world's best copy, or if you want to be great at copywriting, go get swipe files and then rehand write them, you know. Mm-hmm. So what I would do every morning, and this is when I didn't have any money. So this is when people, like, out there right now are going, well, what do I work on? Well, you work on acquiring the skill sets that are going to generate the money.
Exactly.
And, because if you can get the skill sets, then the money will come because you'll be doing the skill sets. And so I get up for the first hour.
I just want to really make sure everybody heard that, because you just gave them everything they're ever going to need to make money. The money flows from your skills. And the investment that you make in skills, and luckily a lot of it's just time. It doesn't, you know, if you don't have money, I didn't have money when I started. I just read a lot and wrote a lot.
Right on.
So I'm really glad you said that. The money comes from skills. It doesn't come from being clever or being charismatic or being lucky or you know, any of that stuff. It comes from having a rich skill set.
Yeah, and the funny thing is you work on your skill set. So for example, like, I mean, like, what do you really need to know to make money in marketing? You know how to research a niche, target a market, and then generate traffic and convert that traffic and then sell them more stuff. I mean, if you wanted to boil some of these things down. So go be the best at those things, and if you are just absolutely brain dead on a certain topic, then first of all, get that belief system out of your head. But then second of all, I mean, like, I'm looking at, I mean, second of all, you can go hire somebody. But the reality is that I'm looking at, like, you know, your system faculty and the things that you have coming up at the event. And, I mean, you know, people ask me all the time, well, how can I make money and how can I start my own business and blah, blah, blah. Well, go to these seminars. I mean, go study and go follow, you know, if you want to know about whatever Gower Chowdhury's talking about, go follow him to the bathroom or go buy him a beer. Go ask questions. And, you know, like, I know guys like Dave D who's speaking, Chris Daigle, you know, we mentioned Lloyd. Mm-hmm. These guys are all nice guys. These guys are people that will answer any question you have. And the reality is just know what you're asking before you ask it. And the more specific you are, the better answers you're going to get from these people, you know.
So, you know Dave, Dave, who started with us from scratch, did something really smart, and he always reminds people to do the same. Because when he came to his first seminar with us, the tuition was a lot to him.
Right on.
And he wanted to get his maximum value. So what he did was he sat down and wrote down dozens and dozens of questions that he brought to the seminar, and he made sure that every single one of them was answered.
Good for him.
And I recommend that to everybody. It works. It works. And he always reminds people of that. And, you know, nobody can prevent you from doing that. No lack of money can keep you from doing that. Obviously I would love for everyone on earth to come to the seminar, you know, but some people listening to this, we already know, won't be able to.
Right.
This principle works whether you come to a seminar or not. It's not knowing that keeps you from going forward. And it's sometimes a good idea to just write down all the things that you are stuck on, like, gee, I don't know how to do this, and I don't know how to do that. And rather than just go in an endless loop of stuckness, methodically go through and answer those questions. Get those questions answered.
I mean, listen, like, Ken, I'll tell you, like, last night I was up till midnight. We just had a baby girl at 12:15, I think, went to bed. We had a baby girl 8 weeks ago. So my wife went to bed around 9:30 or whatever. She goes to bed, and I rock the baby if she needs, our little Keegan, if she needs to be rocked. But what I do is I love internet marketing. I think there's so many phenomenal things about information marketing and internet marketing that it's the best business in the world. There's nothing like this. And if you're truly passionate about making money, creating a business that really can fit your lifestyle, and you can help people, and you can do just amazing things for people. And so I have, like, I'm holding my daughter in one hand, just rocking on the chair, and I'm looking up some things online as we're just hanging out. It's pretty comedy. And there's some things I could not figure out, and I spent about 2 hours trying to figure it out. And then I knew one guy who had the answer, so I have an appointment with him today. I know it's so simple, but I just didn't know. Now, here's another thing. I've talked about this a little bit recently, right, because my clients are dentists, and I got to help them with dental marketing, and they have all these questions. And everybody wants the A through Z step-by-step by the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants that. And, and even better, everyone wants it done for them. But here's the reality about that. Even if you do the best job as an instructor at teaching people the step-by-step things, your brain as a student can only filter and take in so much information. So when you go back to doing the thing, there's still going to be times of confusion and frustration. And so, like, for example, like, I can say this is point A and that's point B. But nobody talks about the when you're traveling from point A to point B. That's where you have to have that entrepreneurial tenacity and faith and belief in yourself to push yourself through that gray area or that confusion area, because the only way you're going to pop out at point B is if you have the guts to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you referred to Lloyd earlier. You know, his whole life is about that. Here's a guy that steps out on the wrestling mat in, you know, world champion situations, you know, where if you don't conduct yourself properly, you might get your head ripped off your shoulders, you know. And so,
right.
You know, I mean, we're not exaggerating. I mean, he's a national champion in judo, national champion in
jiu-jitsu and sambo.
Actually, world champion in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
He's training people all the time that are, he just brought a bunch of guys to the Pan American Games, and they came home with a bunch of gold medals. So
right on.
That sports mindset is really very, very helpful.
Now, real quick question, Ken, how many sessions do you have Lloyd speaking at your event coming up?
We've got him in three.
Oh my goodness!
Well,
I don't know if you're like the most talented man to have him do that much, but so anybody listen to this. I mean, you know, unless it's my session, you need to go and find and just every ounce of thing. Here's the biggest thing I got from Lloyd is that I thought I worked fast and I implemented fast,
mm-hmm.
but the reality is that. We all, I don't care who we are, listen to this call, we all can do things faster and better and more, and execute faster.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a book out there right now that actually had, and this is a great thing too, is about speed. It's like, we have people all the time coming up to us asking us questions, well, I got four ideas, which one's best?
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, Ken, is, and this is something I learned a long time ago by consulting with some high-level consultants, is that, you know, the reality is most of these guys are guessing because the market has to tell you whether it's a good idea or not.
Right.
And the only way you're going to know is, well, go generate traffic, survey the niche, or sell to the niche and see if people convert. If they don't convert, or if you're not even generating leads, that means if no one's advertising to this market, if people aren't interested in that topic, then you can have the best idea. I mean, I got tons of friends, family who have great ideas. They're not making any money because they don't do anything with it. But I would say anyone listening to this call, I mean, if I can get you to do anything, it's just go sell something and see if you can get some confidence and just keep moving quickly.
I mean, absolutely.
That's what it's
absolutely.
All about, you know.
Absolutely. And I would add to that, it's really, I mean, ideas are sort of the fuel of business, but when we're talking about making money, we're talking about, and for the most part, serving existing living and breathing marketplaces. So if your idea is not directly related to an existing marketplace that is already functioning and happening, you may find yourself with a very difficult road. Whereas if you can figure, money is most easily made and made in the largest quantities when you figure how to plug into something that's already happening. And let's use that as a point of departure for how you found your way. You know, I'm sure you started out with pretty slim resources.
Yeah, I mean, kind of what I was doing. I'll tell you, this is a good lesson too. Is I was, you know, I was learning how to do internet marketing after my motivational speaking, and I was coaching volleyball at the time. Like I said, I wanted to be Tony Robbins, so I went and got trained in neuro-linguistic programming. I got trained in hypnosis. I had some really good high-level stuff, but I was still struggling. So that's when I decided, oh, wow, I'm learning this internet marketing stuff, meaning I can take my information, package it into a manual, a book, ebook, audios, and I started doing that. So I created, I'm kind of talking quick because I want everyone to get as much as possible, but I created a website that was specifically designed to show volleyball athletes how to be mentally tougher, okay? Now, I quickly realized that the volleyball players were not the ones buying the book, you know? So I redesigned that to a volleyball coach's mental toughness training system for their teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started sub-niching that and going into other niches. And I was making decent money. I mean, it was getting better, you know. I mean, if I knew what I knew now, I would have been able to make a lot more quicker. But I was learning, you know, and that's the most important thing in moving forward. And then one day I was sitting, and this is one of those punch-in-the-face light bulb moments, right? I was sitting there at my computer, and I got an email come through about somebody who was selling like a $1,000 a month product. Or actually, it was it was $99 a month product. And this is when continuity income and forced continuity was just like barely being tested.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I knew the marketer who was doing it, and I pushed myself away from my desk, and I instantly did the math in my head. And I said, wow, here I am selling a $27 ebook to a niche that only has 2,500 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this guy selling a $99 a month continuity program that if he gets 1,000 people in that, he's making $100,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I quickly said to myself, there's no way I can ever make the amount of money doing what I'm doing, knowing what I know.
Right, because there's a case where the at the end of the day, it's the arithmetic that triumphs. So some businesses, the arithmetic is just bad.
Yeah, the transaction size. Yeah, and you're and now you can do you got one of two strategies, right, Ken? I mean, like you can go to 50 different niches and try and sell that $27 ebook to a gajillion people, which is not always bad. I mean, everything's good, by the way. I want everyone to know this. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything's bad. I'm just saying like. At that time, knowing what I knew, I saw these guys selling to niche businesses, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to get into the money business, which means telling people, teaching people how to make money. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I knew just what I was learning. And so I was like 26, 27 at the time. What I did is I approached a couple consultants. And I'll tell you, you know what I said to them? I said, can I work for you guys for free on Fridays, one day a week? I'll work for you for free. I'll be your gopher. I'll do whatever you tell me to do if I can, you know, just work in your business and you guys teach me stuff. And, of course, they laughed at me and they said, well, no, you can't do that, but you can buy the licensing rights to use our materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, fine. Now, this is so like the world kind of aligned, but around that same time, because we come from a blue-collar family, 13 kids in my family.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty amazing. Anyhow, we came across money that was gifted. Long story, don't need to really tell it, but it was gifted. So I had like $3,000 in my bank account, which was like more money than I ever had. I took that $3,000. I purchased the down payment for the licensing rights to use that material.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had to pick a niche. So I went out and researched, I think, over 50 different professional niches and in industries. I went through the yellow pages, and now obviously things are a little bit easier nowadays, the internet being the way it is now. But they didn't have it. Like, it wasn't as accessible and easy to cruise through. So anyhow, here's how I picked a niche is one of my mentors said, well, If I were you, I would pick a white collar niche and the niche that you have, and then that's how I picked dentistry. So
okay.
I went into that niche not knowing anything about it, nothing about it, and right now we're probably the largest and fastest growing dental marketing company in the world. We're going to do over $8 million this year, where we went from zero, so that's zero to $8 million in about a little over five years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the story.
I'd say, and so you didn't know anything about it, but you did have obviously a commitment to doing it well.
Yes. Oh, and I would say we are the best at what we do in the world. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We provide great value for people, and we consistently look to improve. So.
You've been at this for 5 years, and what exactly do you do for dentists?
We teach them how to attract high quality patients who pay, stay, and refer. So we give them marketing tools that they can implement on their own, and then we also provide turnkey direct mail services that we can do for them. And as of recently, we're now providing search engine optimization for their dental practices as well. So we have coaching clubs, seminars, and we pretty much do just about everything you can imagine in an information business.
And of course they really need that help because they're not marketers, they're dentists.
Oh, right on. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, you know, it's the whole thing of like being good at something it does not equal money. You know, like you can be good at something, but if someone knows how to market better than you, they're going to make more money than you. And
These are guys that are all college educated. They've gone to grad school.
Oh yeah, they're doctors. Yeah,
they obviously work hard.
Yeah,
they're smart. They're not afraid of business, obviously, because being a dentist is a business. It requires a lot of upfront investment and a lot of management. And yet, you were able to come along this young fella,
yeah,
and make a hugely positive impact on their business by injecting marketing knowledge and marketing services. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, the thing I'd say, too, is, I mean, they're great people, but I'd also say, like, you have to understand that they were focused on the thing they were doing, and they thought that thing was going to make them money.
Mm.
And I see it all the time. Like, someone came up to me with an idea the other day, and they're telling me about how this thing is better than anything else that's in the niche. Well, I don't even, and I know, take out the whole, like, of course you want to create value for people. But I don't care how great the thing is, Ken, until I know that there's a market that's actually taking out their credit cards and buying the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, otherwise, you can be the best at putting on a diaper for children. But you can be the best in the world at that. But if no one's online searching for how do I put a diaper on a child correctly, mm-hmm. then who cares how good you are? I mean, you might be able to do some local charity work and be a mentor for moms who are single, coming out, you know, that need help and, like, do a little childhood. I mean, we could even create a business. Well, maybe that's not it, but maybe you need to do how to teach single moms how to be great parents boot camp. And, you know, I mean, you can niche it that way. You know, who knows? And but you got to go where people are interested in what they want, not what they need, because people don't buy what they need. They buy what they want.
Also, in your case, we were talking about going into business industries that are existing, and clearly dentistry exists.
Right.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and you knew that the people at the helm of that industry, the individual dentists, marketing is really key,
right,
to them being able to survive and prosper. And you knew that they just didn't know; they don't know what they're doing. And the dentists are willing to spend money to improve their practices. I mean, they buy equipment, they sign long leases, they do all kinds of stuff. By the way, that reminds me of something. I mean, this just shows you about how business works. Remind me later after this call. I met a guy who does a big business in selling medical condos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got to hook you two guys together.
Okay, great, great, great.
Millions. you've got what he doesn't grasp. He's a very smart guy, but he's on the real estate end, and he's got the real estate section side of it completely sorted out.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. What he's not familiar with is how to approach with and work with dentists, who he's found are his best customers. So, anyway, it's just a sidebar. We probably generated 6 to 7 figures lifetime.
Nice. I like that.
Well, and, you know, and I was on a call with Sharon Odom the other day, and we were talking about why it's so important to be serious if you're going to go into business and pick a niche and really get, in my opinion, other people say, well, you know, have 18,000 e-books, and if they each make a dollar a day, you'll be a millionaire. Okay, well, that's interesting. But to me, it's better to actually get deep into something, because when you do, then you have the opportunity to attract the attention of other deep people.
You know what, Ken? This is like one of my favorite topics in the world. I swear to God, this is like this. You know why? Here's why.
What?
Because one of my goals is to be on the Oprah show, right?
Okay.
Swear it is. It is just one of my goals to be on the Oprah show, and you know, it's I have some goals that I'm not going to share here about why that is, and it's charity purposes and blah blah blah. But here's the thing, is that the when you say something like I want to be on Oprah show, but you are not at the level of a person who deserves to be there, then you're sending the wrong message to the world. This goes back. This goes back to the whole skill set development. Is that the reality is so what you need to go do is become the person who those people will come seek out and want to have on their show.
Exactly.
Like, you want to go do business with me? Great. Come and develop the skill sets and be at a high-level person that has earned the right to go, hey, Ed, I want access to your dental marketing mailing list. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that's fine. But, you know, let's face it, we're all in the same business of, well, what's in it for each other, and there's no free lunch. And there was no free lunch when I was dead broke. There's still not one today. If you want to become successful and make seven figures or eight figures or six figures or even, I don't even care if it's an extra $20,000 a year, God bless you. What are the skill sets and what's the type of person that you need to become? You know how earlier I said that, like, one of the goals I had when I was dead broke was to become the best in the world at something, at copywriting. Well, I still have that goal. It's just on a different topic, because now I'm 32. I'm going, hey, where do I want to be when I'm 35? And then what's the skill sets I need to develop, and who are the mentors I need to surround myself with, and what's the information I need to acquire, and then what are the action steps I got to do on a daily basis? And if you can keep it that simple, Ken, all of us will get much quicker to the goals than ever before. And nobody has – I mean, if you go to people – we talk about, like, joint ventures and stuff. Like, you know, it's like, well, what are you doing new today? You know, what are you doing new next month? What, whether it's people, information, action steps, testing you're doing, that would be of value to somebody who you'd like to meet. And I always say, like, I became great friends with Lloyd Irvin, but then again, people don't realize it's not just because we hung out. It's because I've created a lot of value for him and a friendship with him, and, like, Dan Kennedy, you know, Dave D, I could call him up in a heartbeat, and he's a good buddy. Why? Because I would create value for those people prior to ever asking for something in return.
Absolutely. I mean, the old expression, which is one of my favorites, is dig the well before you're thirsty.
Right on.
You know, so work, and you know, it goes back to skills. And if you show up at the table with skills, you're immediately a useful person. I just had this morning I had a conversation with a young person here in New Orleans, and he has devoted himself to learning how to be a really good video editor, and it's opened all kinds of doors for him that he never dreamed would be possible. And I said, well, look, you know, now when you show up somewhere, you've got something people need.
Of course, especially now.
Oh yeah, and not only are the doors aren't just opening, people are running out the door after him.
Right on.
You know, and he's just so stunned because he's the same guy he was, you know, a year ago.
Right on.
But now he's in demand because what did it come down to? He had something to bring to the table. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about this dentistry business. Advice business. It's paid off very well for you. You know, we haven't been throwing numbers around, but you mentioned your annual sales this year are going to be somewhere around where?
We did a little over $6.2 million in 2007. We're on track to do close to $8 million, if not more. I would love to lie to you and tell you that we're going to hit $10 million, but I don't think it's a lie. I think it's possible. It's just a matter of a couple things clicking sooner rather than later. But we're on track to about $8 million this year, and then, you know, and really we're working. working really, really aggressively, and I think that's a key word everyone should write down and hold on to. We're working aggressively at finding out more and more of what our clients want. Are there any sub niches that we don't even know about that can deliver more value and sell into within our existing niche? And really, like you just talk about, dig deeper within the niche, and then, you know, I have some game plans, a 2 to 3 year game plan of literally owning the internet side of the entire knowing the things that, you know, you teach at your system seminars, aggressively implementing all that stuff much quicker and faster than everybody else, and being on that front side of that trend.
Now, you've made it to obviously from 0 to 1 million.
Yeah.
And now 1 million, and now you're ramping it up to 8 and perhaps getting to 10 and beyond. You know, people throw these numbers around.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, in my experience,
they share net.
Explain what's involved. I mean, what do you have to do to get up
well,
to 1 million?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, hey, we got up to 1 million. I think I got up to 1 million with, like, 1 or 2 employees at the most. And I think the first thing that you got to look at is your business model, and if you can add continuity income to it, the sooner you can do that, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be just one thing.
Let's just describe that for a second. Continuity income is any kind of a deal where you're providing an ongoing service for which you're receiving automatic ongoing payments.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, it's the, I don't know, it's mother's milk, you know. I mean, it's like so essential to the survival of a business, in my opinion. I just can't imagine how any business can survive and grow without having a continuity aspect. And if you look at the most successful businesses, or the, you know, the ones that move the most money, industries, you know, people don't often think of the insurance industry as being a continuity, but it sure is. Those premiums are continuity.
Yeah, right on.
You know, and if you go to any town in America, any city in America, and you look at who owns the biggest office buildings, it's always the insurance companies. They're the ones that are just sitting on vast amounts of cash. Same thing with the utility, you know, the electric companies. And now, why are they doing so well? Well, it's a continuity business. You plug in and you never unplug. And that's your ideal relationship with your marketplace, is they plug in and they just never disconnect. And you're getting a check every month. And you can, you know, I love waking up first of the month, and I know what my base income is.
Yep.
And that's just, oh, my God. That changed my life when I added continuity.
Yeah, I would say, too, you know, like the thing is, if anyone's out there and they're worried about cash flow or they're having cash flow issues, first of all, that's part of the deal. That's part of the business. You have to be aware of what's going on with cash. And the second thing is, I'd say you need to instantly put in a continuity income or continuity stream, and then I'd say instantly sell them another thing that has continuity tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you can put continuities on top of continuities. I mean, some of my clients are in 3 or 4 different programs of ours that are all continuity income streams, and, you know, some drop, some don't. Who cares? It's almost like you're doing a better service for them by forcing them to stay in the club than just selling them a one-time transaction, okay?
And there are all kinds of businesses. Don't just think that continuity just has to do with info marketing or how-to material. Dentists could have continuity programs.
Right.
Hairdressers could. I mean, it's just a matter of you know, people that detail cars. I mean, it's just a matter of imagination.
Right.
You know, finding and it's your more high end customers that you know, you have to have a good service to attract them in the first place.
Right.
But once you do, your continuity should be packaged as an ongoing convenience for them, you know, something that keeps them on track, helps them achieve their goals. And really, I find the only barrier to forming or creating a continuity program is imagination. And sometimes you have to be imaginative.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you this, Ken, I mean, this might sound crazy too, is like if your business is not susceptible to creating continuity, or if the marketplace is not buying it, I would instantly start looking at a different way of packaging what you do, or a different niche, so that you can create continuity income. Because the only thing I'm seeing now, hopefully someone at the system seminar can come to me and tell me I'm stoned and I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I'm seeing is that cost of acquiring customers in a cluttered marketplace is only going in one direction. and that is up. So, so for example, like when I started 5 years ago, my cost of acquiring a customer was whatever dollar amount, it's four times that now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when guys try and come into the dental niche and try and do what I'm doing, I kind of chuckle because they don't see what's behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize that, you know, we break even on a certain amount of sales in order to make money on a totally different component of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to model it, but they don't have the profit center in alignment. You know what I mean? But what I want to say was, here's a couple things, Ken, because I want to give a couple of good nuggets. Is what I want to know from like zero to a million is, if you're going to go from zero to a million, the first thing you got to do is find out how are you going to sell to the niche. Let's pretend you already have the niche, whatever. Is what's my ideal conversion sequence and lead generation sequence, and how do I maximize both of those things, okay? And the other thing that I would challenge everyone to do is try and get an accurate, like if you have a one or two or three niches that you want to know, like your dollar amount, and if you're having cash flow issues especially,
mm-hmm.
No one ever talks about cash flow issues. You know, you read those books like Rich Dad Poor Dad and Kiyosaki says cash flow is king, and you read all these things, and everyone says cash flow is king. Well, what the hell does that even mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what it means is that you have more money coming in that you can go and invest or do something with, whether it's back into your business, than you have flying out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a great way of looking at that is, I like to challenge my students to know, you should know, what is it costing you to acquire a new customer? And then what is that customer really worth to you at 3 months and 6 months? So what we do in our office is I have a high school kid come in and individually audit my dentist. So we'll go back 6 months and I'll say, just audit how many of them have, how much they've all spent with me, and then divide it by the total number of dentists, and that gives me an average value of a customer in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So then now I can go to work at going, okay, well, is it going up or is it going down?
Mm-hmm.
And now you get to go and look at your business as an investment vehicle. So everyone's talking about, well, I'm going to go invest in stocks. I'm going to go invest in real estate here. Well, if you know you spend $300 to acquire a customer and you're making $1,500 in a six-month period of time, where else are you going to get that 5-to-1 return on investment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
that's really what marketing is. You know, money in, money or money out, and money back. There's a lot of things to focus on, but that is ultimately at the end of the day, the essential thing that you want to focus on. It's a very rational, straightforward, matter of fact, unglamorous business at its core. It's, you know, how much, and we're all in the same business. We're all in the business of acquiring customers, buying
right.
customers. There's this marketplace out there. Customers cost a certain amount to acquire. We buy them at a certain price. It's kind of like buying AdWords in a sense for those
mm-hmm.
people that are familiar with buying AdWords. You know, you buy an AdWord and then it costs so much, and your challenge is, okay, can I generate more income, net income to myself than that AdWord cost me? And if I do, I'm in business. If I don't, I stop running that ad, or I figure out how to monetize better. Well, that's what it looks like on the micro scale. But the macro scale, when you're scaling up to, you know, half a million, a million, 5 million, 10 million a year, it never changes. It really
no, in is. Fact, in fact, the bigger you go, people are more, they're like, oh, well, he's got more money. Yeah, but that means that your mistakes are even that much more glaring.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that helped us go from what I found is between 3 million and 6 million, the way we did that was we added a lot of new products and services, okay, that's one, which
mm-hmm.
requires some infrastructure. Now, but then the other thing that I wanted to let everyone know is that as you grow, the more you need to know your numbers, and I know people say this stuff, but I still have yet to, like, you know, like even it's like the cash flow thing is people go, oh, you need to know your numbers. Well, what the hell does that mean, Ken? I mean, do I need a profit and loss statement? Do I need a cash flow statement? Do I need to know these things? And at that level, I'll tell everyone exactly what happens is that when we're cash heavy, I'll look at my accounts receivable and my profit, or I'll look at my cash in bank and my accounts receivable maybe once a week. when we're cash flow tight, like if we're throwing a seminar and we've spent a lot of money, so things are a little tighter. If I've taken money out and I've invested it elsewhere, so I just got to look at it more. I'm looking at it like every other day, and I have my my bookkeeper talking to me and sending over what's going on. So that's like numbers I'd look at, and then monthly I'm looking at a profit and loss statement that is boiled down to percentages. So the numbers don't mean as much as the percentages do, and I don't want to get too in-depth, Ken, but I also think that, like, when I was first starting this stuff, I mean, it's taken me 6 years to figure this stuff out, and I have a consultant who comes in and coaches us, and because I want to take this thing to $20 million, $40 million, whatever, but I don't want to sacrifice my lifestyle for money, but you don't have to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's beneficial or not. I don't know if I'm making people...
Well, I guess at, you know, at the higher levels and the more bowls you have in the air, I mean, no, and again, nobody ever talks about this, but when you start... You mentioned that you had one or two employees to get to $1 million a year in sales,
yeah.
And that rings true. And you know, that may seem like a really high, elevated number to some people, but it is true. You can get to about $1 million with very, very leanly. But if your goal, and I know this, you know, people hear about these big numbers, and nobody ever talks to them about what's involved in getting them. And what's involved is growth and sophistication. You just pointed to one area where we're talking about taking a much closer look at your financials. You just have to. You're compelled to because you've got more at stake. What? How much does your staff have to be, or has your staff grown?
Oh yeah, we've grown dramatically because my strategy was, and just before I tell you how much staff I have, my strategy was to identify new profit centers within the niche I was in, and then build teams to service that thing. So I have a turnkey department. We got three people in there. I have a sales team of five people with a sales manager. So that's now up to nine. I have an implant dental marketing club. That's one person. And then I have two customer service reps and two bookkeepers. And then I have one director of marketing. And we're short probably two more people. Like I need to have a couple more implementers internally. And here's the funny thing is I also outsource some things to people in different countries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, you know, and then I also have a mailing house that has three people in it. But, you know, people go, well, I know you don't want employees. And the reality is, hey, listen, if I'm able to make more money and I have other people who are good at what they do, doing the things they do so that I can focus on, this is how I view my job. Identify new profit centers,
mm-hmm.
create marketing for it, and then work with my operations team to fulfill on it.
And this is something that we talked about earlier before we got on the call. Your position is that a successful entrepreneur at whatever level is spending 80% of his or her time doing the things that they love to do and are great at.
Right. I mean, I think there's everybody should write this down. We're all born with natural, unique gifts that we're brilliant at. We just got to find out what those are.
Mm-hmm.
And in the marketing business, most entrepreneurs who are probably listening to this find that they are interested in the ideas and the marketing of it. And what happens is you probably have people around you telling you how you never get back to them. You have terrible follow-through skills. There's something wrong with you. The reality is that every entrepreneur that I've been seeing that's very successful, not everyone, but I'd say about 90% of them are terrible at their idea people. They're all over the map, and they need to focus on the things that they're good at, creating ideas, and then they need to learn marketing, they need to learn how to sell. And what I believe is you need to get a team around you of people who can do everything that doesn't fit within your core competency. I think, like, when you talk, I think, you know, like, the thing that, like, you know, that separates Lloyd from everyone else, too, is all Lloyd cares about is traffic plus conversion, and he has other people doing the servicing and taking care of the logistics. I mean, and that's really what the business is about. That's where all the money's made, is figuring out those two things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you've seen people, more and more people are getting to the $2 and $3 and $4 million a year mark. And, you know, it sounds, again, from the outside, it just sounds purely glamorous. But actually, it can be problematic. What kinds of problems can you run into at that level?
Well, I think, first of all, is that there's no clear path, and I think that's one of the challenges. A lot of the guys out there in the internet marketing world and information marketing world talk about, you know, like they can talk about theories. Well, the reality is you got to understand that as you scale up, it's okay, first of all and foremost, for you to have a team, okay? It's okay, and it's a necessity to have people who are going to do things. I mean, think about it. I mean, I know guys, Ken, that are millionaires who are sitting there and dealing with customer service and dealing with fax communications. Well, I'm sorry, but you can get somebody for $13 an hour to do that. Mm-hmm. And so really, they're a millionaire when only half of the things they do is creating that money. The rest of it is just cleaning up. And the other thing is they hate their jobs. Because, you know, they're working 70 hours a week. I mean, me, I'll tell you, it's rare that I'll work over 40 hours a week. I got four beautiful kids. I go home to them. I put them to bed just about every night, spend time with the wife and the family, and that's what I love to do. So I think the biggest challenge is that people end up imploding a little bit and actually wondering, like, you know, that whole what did I get myself into, and they're working 68 hours a week. That's crazy. That's not the right. It means you need to think differently and start restructuring your business. And can I say one? This is probably the best advice I can give about this topic of where to begin. I know we're probably almost out of time too.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I tell people to do is take a piece of paper and create an X, like a cross, and mm-hmm. in four quadrants, in the upper right hand corner, write the words love/brilliant, and everything that you love to do that you and only you can do and that you're brilliant at, like you're a genius at,
mm-hmm.
write all the activities in there. And those should be the things that are bringing in the most money. To the left, the next quadrant should be like and good at. So those are things that you like to do and you're good at. Down in the lower right-hand corner, lower left-hand corner is dislike, and then the far right-hand corner is hate. My mom told me growing up, we don't use the word hate in our household. So you can use whatever word you need to describe things that you're just so awful that you don't ever want to do. And
mm-hmm.
anything in dislike and hate, get out of your life, delegate it, find somebody who excels at those things, and then I would even challenge you in 1 year, even the things that you like but you're good at, get rid of 50% of those things too. And the thing that will happen is you'll have more time, you'll enjoy your life more, and you'll coincidentally start making a lot more money.
That's great advice, and this really goes back to something that I say a lot, which is a lot that has to do with making money has to do with self-knowledge. In the end, you know, I'll testify to this, and maybe you will too. In the end, when you're climbing the mountain, the technical skills and the marketing skills sometimes seem like the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
You learn them, and you learn them, and you've got them, and then they're really not that big a deal. You just sort of execute over and over again. But the ongoing challenge and the thing that makes the most difference is the self-knowledge department. And we've both seen many people who have phenomenal technical and marketing skills that have even, you know, built up successful businesses, and they've kind of crashed on the issue of lack of self-knowledge. I know this might seem like, oh, you know, this is all soft content these guys are talking about. You know, where's the meat? Here's two guys that are, you know, into the six figures with, using the seven figures with their businesses, and we're telling you this is what it's about. So you can either believe us or, you know, or say, ah, you know, it's something else. No, it's really not. It's practical issues, which are what market are you going to go into, and we covered that earlier in the call, and that makes a huge difference.
Another thing I'd say too, I mean, just a practical purpose of like just is also once you figure out what you love to do and what works for you, mm-hmm. is then you have to be not allow time vampires to come into your life. And, mm-hmm. and by the way, you know, Ken, there's no moral, ethical, you are not a higher level being because you decide to become a victim and do everything in your business.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing gained there. The responsibility you have to this world is to create value, find out what it is you want, go out and get it. And the reality is that if you feel that making money is one of the things that you want to do, then you have the commitment. It's kind of like with like raising my kids, right? Is that I was talking to somebody last week who was complaining about their daughter and how she always talks back and how she's this little snob. And I was like, what in the world are you – I mean, like, listen to me. I'm like, she's 7 years old. She talks back to her mom. Oh, she's just like her mom. She's talking about herself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you have any kind of structure of discipline in your household? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she doesn't listen. And I just said, listen, your sole frickin' responsibility – to that child, she is your number one job is to become the best at what you do, bottom line, and do it the best you can. And even if you do that, it might not work out, but at least, you know, like what I meant by that was like, go get Nanny 911 books, go get 123 Magic books, go watch DVDs, go hire consultants, do whatever it takes to become the best at that thing and do it with all your heart because there's only one shot at that job. Now, in the marketing world, it's the same freaking thing. It's like, and I'm sorry I'm getting excited about it, but it's the thing is like people say they want to make money, yet they're not willing to do the work. People say they'll do the work, but they're not willing to go acquire the skill sets. And the reality is that if you want to play at this level and really take it to an entirely new level, create a three-year plan, then work backwards and say, I want to be making $1 million in 3 years, or I want to be making X amount of dollars in 3 years, and work backwards and just, you know, your first goal is to get that first sale. Second goal is to figure out how to get as many sales as you can, and then you'll figure it out. I mean, I'm passionate about this stuff because I love this stuff, and if people are really serious about it, they can make it happen. But if they're looking for things to be given to, I mean, come on, like you look at some of the internet marketing pitches. There's such bull crap of you know, three clicks to cash. Like, give me a break. You know, I mean, I can go off on this topic, obviously, but we've been talking.
It's, you know, those pitches are very appealing. I read them. I'm like, ooh, that sounds good. But, you know, then I wake up and realize there's a lot more to it. Hey, speaking of System 2008, you're going to be conducting a workshop there.
Yeah.
What are you going to be covering?
Oh, my God. I really want to talk about some of the advanced secrets of targeting niches and even going into competitive niches and how to win. I mean, like, one of the things we didn't talk about today was, like, dentistry was filled with, like, 40, 50 consultants and how to win in a competitive market, how to identify your core profit centers and expand them quickly. I mean, the first time you're identifying new profit centers, you got to go through that grind. But then we're going to be talking about how to identify them quickly. And that's, you know, I hate to tell everyone this, but that's where the big profits. I mean, I'll tell you this real quick, and I'll talk about this when we get there. Some of my companies are 90-something percent net profit, but they aren't my first company. My first company is what brings in the clients, which then allows me to set up another profit center. And that second, third, fourth profit centers are where the cash starts to build up, and it starts to get a lot of fun. So if anyone's going through a grind, they're having a trouble figuring out how to acquire new customers and scale their businesses quickly. I'll be talking about that, and then of course I'll be talking about building. You know, what's a little more in depth on how to find the right people to support your unique abilities. Because the thing is, everyone's a little bit different. Everyone needs a little bit different guidance on it, but the foundations are still the same. And I'll talk briefly about how to scale from 0 to 6 to 8 million at rapid speeds.
That's great. You know, there are now programs springing up where, you know, people could spend thousands of dollars just to learn just what you'll be talking about in your workshop. And you'll be one of 25 workshops that are available. And that's the thing that makes the system completely different and unique from all the other events that anybody could ever think of going to.
Right on.
Nobody puts out as much material as we do. It's just not close. And each session by itself, I could easily, if I were so motivated, blow it up into being a $2,000 or $5,000 weekend all by itself. But I know I would rather be a clearinghouse for good information for people that are that really need a lot of different kinds of things. There is really no one bullet that solves all business problems. So that's why we have 25 plus experts.
Right on.
That's why
That's why we cover all these different kinds of topics, not just traffic, not just conversion, not just the latest internet gizmo, though we will be covering that kind of stuff, but also how do you form all this stuff into a business, and how do you grow that business to the level that you'd like it to be, while keeping your life manageable. And these are things we've always focused on from the very beginning, and we just continue to get better and better at them. This year we're going to be in Chicago again, or one of our favorite cities where you happen to live, Ed.
Yeah, I'm excited. And by the way, Ken, I'll be there, like, just so everyone knows, I'll be there all weekend long as a student. You know, I'm excited as well. And if anyone, you know, has questions in the hallways, whatever, as I'm walking, follow me to the bathroom, whatever you got to do, you know. I mean, I'll be happy to answer anything you have, you know.
You're a brave man, Ed.
Well, actually, let me come out of the bathroom first. I'm kind of teasing there. But
give him a chance to wash his hands at least.
That's right.
But that is also something that's very different about our events.
Yep.
Very often you'll go to seminars and it's basically a pack of speakers who are, you know, their business is selling tape sets and, you know, super expensive coaching programs, which may or may not be helpful to people, but that's what they're there for. And when they're off the stage, they're gone. They're done. They're not hanging out with you and answering your questions. We take a completely different approach. So many of our faculty at our events, especially at this one, actually got started in the industry with us from scratch. And I have asked them, and that's my main, I have three screening points. One, you got to be really good at what you do. Two, you have to be articulate and able to teach and want to teach. And three, you have to be willing to be a human being and hang out with the attendees and not, you know, run off to powder your nose or whatever it is these guys do.
Right.
When they're no longer in front of the public. I'm keenly aware. I think just hearing from Ed, you know, he's keenly aware too. Lloyd is keenly aware. We all remember where we were when we didn't get this.
Yeah.
We really want you guys to get it, and that's our highest mission. And I'm really glad Ed's going to be there to help us cover this important area of business growth and business development and organizational development that so often gets kind of glossed over. So for anybody who has listened to this and wants to join us in person, we're at www.thesystemseminar.com, thesystemseminar.com. We have already managed to sell out our entire room block at the hotel we're at. So if you want a room at that hotel, do not delay in any case. I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, but we've got a big tuition increase that will take place at the end of April. So if you're coming, do it sooner rather than later. Make your arrangements. It's thesystemseminar.com. And if, you know, if you're not able to come, and the law of large numbers tells me that the majority of people listening to this call for one reason or another won't be able to come, do take advantage of these calls. This 25-plus series of interviews is a complete internet marketing training unto itself. In fact, you may find that you wouldn't even be able to buy a better one. We've put a lot of content in here, but we've also given you a lot of, worldview information that's every bit as important as the technical details. Technical details in the business are not the mystery they used to be. When we first got started, nobody knew what pay-per-click was.
Yeah, right.
Nobody knew
right.
what conversion was. Nobody knew what testing and tracking was. We innovated. We were the ones that first brought these things to a lot of, you know, thousands and thousands of people. Now they become common knowledge, and now the next frontier is getting your head on right and learning how to be a good business person. So, Ed O'Keefe, I'm really thrilled that you're going to be joining us in Chicago. And everybody else, thank you for listening, and I hope to see you all there.
All right, Ken. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, everyone.